You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Happy Friday to you. Thank God it is Friday. Thank you for joining us here today. God bless you. Be it 6:30 a.m. on WWBC, 7:30 a.m. on 91.5 WMIE, 5:30 in the afternoon, no matter the time. I'm grateful you guys and gals have taken the 30 minutes to tune in, and we are indeed tuning in now to God's frequency, WGOD. God is always broadcasting. We just got to tune and turn our knobs to where he's speaking. We're in the book of Hebrews. I've entitled this sermon, Just Do It, that old Nike saying. That is, when God tells you to do something, do it and do it his way. We're going back and looking at some examples here. We're looking at Saul. When the prophet Samuel told him to do something, he wanted to do it. He made the decision to do it his own way, ran into trouble, lost the kingdom, all because he didn't do what God told him to do in the prescribed manner that God told him to do it. So that's one of the places we're at here. We're going through verse by verse in the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in chapter 8 here today. This weekend, I invite you guys to church. If you're new to the area or if you're looking for a new church home, I invite you to Island Community Church. We are at 1000 North Bonetta River Drive. We're in Merritt Island. Our service starts around 10:35. We're looking at the dramatic conversion of Saul, also known as Paul the Apostle. He's going to run face-to-face into the Lord Jesus Christ in our program here today, in this Sunday morning. We're up to Acts chapter 9 this Sunday morning. We would love to see you. Okay, here we go. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews. Hope everyone has a blessed weekend. We'd love to see you in the house on Sunday. You'll hear the sermon from Sunday on the radio next week right here on WGOD Radio. He says, we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister, verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, or the Lord pitched, says in the King James Version, and not man. Praise God. Jesus says, number one, he said he's high priest. Number two, we could say he hangs his hat in heaven, not here on earth. So he serves for us as mediator and go-between in a different sanctuary, one in heaven, the original sanctuary, if you will, the original sanctuary. And number three, he says he's a minister, not the Greek word diakonos, deacon, but the word for serving God the Father at the altar in the sanctuary. Whole different Greek word here. So we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one, notice the capital O there, notice that this one also have something to offer. And he certainly did have something to offer, didn't he? Let me quote again the verse I quoted last week, Hebrews 9:11. It says, but Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves. Now listen to what this says.
Hebrews 9:12. But with his own blood, he entered the most holy place of the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And I would add to that, for you. So, a question. What holy place is he talking about here? No, this is a copy of the original. This is the copy of the original. So yes, he offers his own blood to make atonement for our sins once for all for you. Verse 4, for if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law. Verse 5, who serve the copy. Look at that. The priests in the earth here at that time, they served the copy. Not the original, the copy. And the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. Again, meaning there's an original in heaven. The one here is a copy. The original is in heaven. Now listen to this verse here, Revelation 11, 19. It says, then the temple of God was open in heaven, and the ark of the covenant was seen in his temple. And there was lightnings, noises, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. The Ark of the Covenant was a copy of the original. The original, along with the original temple. Look at, both of those are in that one verse. The original temple that he was given instructions to build is in heaven. The Ark of the Covenant, the original, is in heaven. The one here was a copy. You know, someday we'll know even as we are known, right? Until that time, all we have are types and shadows. Once again, let's pick it up here in verse 4. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for God said to him, quote, see that you make all things according to the pattern or blueprints that was shown to you on the mountain. And now we know why. Because there's an original in heaven. There's an original in heaven, just like the Ark of the Covenant. Now, right here at this exact thought here is where the Holy Spirit has me today. This is what he wants me to preach here today and to you. Has God ever led you to do something that you do not understand? Or lay out specific instructions, which I know are difficult today because God doesn't speak to us today like he did in Moses' time or like he did to Moses? But you do have the Holy Spirit, though, and they didn't. You're no orphan. Has God impressed something specific for you to do that you either do not understand or that you try to do your own way, perhaps because it makes more sense for you to do it your way instead of doing it his? And there's a reason he wants you to do it his way. There is a reason you must do it his way. And more often than not, you don't know the reason why. You might not ever know the reason why this side of heaven. Moses didn't know why he had to follow God's blueprints for building these things. I mean, imagine if he made the ark out of silver instead of gold, because silver was more affordable or more in abundance than gold. Or imagine if he made the veil in the temple, if Moses' favorite color was green instead of God's favorite colors, which, by the way, are blue and purple and scarlet. See, you might not understand it at the time, But he gave him specific instructions that he needed to follow. Now it's a little inside baseball for you, because you know now there's an original up in heaven that looks exactly like this. He's not calling you to understand it all. He's calling you to obey what he's telling you to do, not to understand it. Believe God at his word. You might not understand it. Maybe you will understand it. Maybe you'll understand it by and by. Now listen to this account of Saul's downfall. As a matter of fact, let's turn back to your Old Testament, to the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, starting right from the top. Now we're talking about God instructing you to do something, and he gives you exact instructions on doing something, and you might not understand why or what he told you to do or why to do it, or what's wrong with just taking his instructions and then doing it my way. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. So Samuel was the prophet, first Old Testament prophet. Samuel also said to Saul's the first king of Israel. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord has sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now, go and attack Amalek, utterly destroy all that they have," or a people, "utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill man and woman and infant and nursing child and ox and sheep and camel and donkey." Now, verse 7. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen, the fatlings and the lambs, and all that was good, which is going to include people. And they were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. So, what do you think in your heart as I read this account to you? That the Old Testament God is just a meanie? Or that it's not fair that he would do that? It's not fair that he would command that? Now, you might not say that, but you think it. Or you'll say it at home or around the water cooler. That have a field day on MSNBC on that one. Can you imagine that? You know how many atheists there are because of that verse? Oh, any God that would do that, I don't want any part of. All right. Might not say it, but many people think it. She's laughing. You guys, you hear it all the time, right? Any God that would ever do that, I don't want any part of. That's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair for him to do that. Now, here's the end result of making oneself more righteous than God, which is what you do when you do that. God tells you to do something, and you say, well, I'll do it, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to wipe that egg off your face a little bit, God. Because you got a fried egg on your face after that. That's not fair. That's too mean to do that. Now, verse 14, move down to verse 14, same chapter. So Samuel shows up and he hears this bleeding of sheep after he gave the command to kill all of them. Verse 14, so Samuel says, "What is this bleeding of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear?" So Saul said, "Well, they've brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we've utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Shut up, and I'll tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, speak on. Boy, can't you just see a little smug smile on his face when he says that? Expecting a trophy, or perhaps a monument, or maybe to rename Jerusalem, we'll call it Saulville. He's going to do it his way. Big hero. You see it? He goes, let me tell you what the Lord said last night. He's about to lose everything in his kingdom. He's about to lose his whole family and his family name. He goes, speak on. Expect him to hear good news. He just killed the worthless things. He saved everything else and everyone else alive. Verse 17. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? Did not the Lord anoint you as king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. Fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I've gone on this mission which the Lord has sent me, and I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder and the sheep and the oxen, they took the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Verse 22, so Samuel said, has the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. All right, so get out your broomsticks, all ye rebels. He's just called you a witch. And you're a little dog, too. Now, I didn't say that. I would never say that to you. And stubbornness, we pause now for the station identification. All stubborn people. Ready? La, 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 la. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Any stubborn folk in here today? Where it's just pulling teeth to get through to you? You know, Delilah, I'm going to start calling you two up front to give testimony. Every time I preach on this, there's like hysterical laughter from the back row in here. What's wrong, Les? Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. So, wow, all this because he thought that God was being a little bit too harsh. And he was going to do what God told him to do, but he was going to do it his way because it made more sense to him to do something his way instead of the prescribed way that God told him to do it. And he left some of these Amalekites alive and some of the descendants of King Agag. Remember that name as we move on and you guys turn to the book of Esther in the Old Testament. It's right before the book of Job, right before the Proverbs. Esther chapter 3. Remember that name. We're going to fast forward 500 years now into the future. Remember the name Agag. King thought he was doing him a favor. Esther, chapter 3. Now, after these things, King, let's call him Artaxerxes for the love of Pete. That's his name, right? Who? Arthuritis? After these things, King Artaxerxes promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha. Look what he is. He's an Agagite. And advanced him and set his seat above all of the princes that were with him and all of the king's servants who were with the king's gate, who were within the king's gate. They bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai, now Mordecai is Esther's uncle. But Mordecai would not bow down or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate, said to Mordecai, why do you transgress the king's command? Now it happened, when they spoke to him daily and he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand. For Mordecai had told them that he was a dum-da-dum-dum. He was a Jew. Just like speaking it at Harvard University today. Go on in there, mention the word Jew. You'll be fleeing out of there for your life.
Or any other Ivy League school, for that matter. Some things never change, do they? Verse 5. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow down or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Artaxerxes. Now remember, his kingdom was over the whole world. He ruled the whole world, the whole known world at the time. So instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Artaxerxes, the people of Mordecai. Verse 7. So in the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Artaxerxes, they cast Pur, that is the lot. You know, like the holiday of Purim, maybe you've heard before. They cast Pur before Haman to determine the day and the month until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Verse 8. Then Haman said to the king, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all the other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. Or it's not fitting for the king to let them live anymore. Verse 9. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasuries. So the king took his signet ring from off of his hand, and he gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you, so do with them as seems good to you. Then the king's scribes were called on the 13th day of the first month, and a decree was written according to all that Haman had commanded to the king's satraps, to the governors over each province, to the officials of all the people, to every province according to its script, to every people in their language. In the name of King Artaxerxes it was written, and it was sealed with the king's signet ring. Then all the letters were sent by DHL, all right, couriers. All the letters were sent by DHL into all of the king's provinces. Now, notice how now the script is flipped here. So the king sent letters by couriers into all of the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. On the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possession. So, there it is. Right there on the calendar. Now, God tried to use men to prevent this, but his remedy seemed way too harsh. Years earlier, God told them to do something that they didn't understand. But they wanted to wipe the egg off of God's face and do it their own way because that just seemed a little bit too harsh to do it. Now the very same thing that God told them to do, now the devil's got his peeps in and they're going to do the very same thing to them. You should have been paying attention when God told you to do something. He's not calling you to understand it. He's calling you to do what he says. Now this man, Haman, was an Agagite. He was a descendant of this king, Agag, whom God instructed to kill him and his entire family. Now, everyone here understands my point, right? When God impresses on you to do something, but just do it. That's my message today. When God impresses on you to do something, just do it. Lean not on your own understanding. Like the Nike ad says, just do it. When God told Moses to build it this way and use this material to build it, just do it. Do what he says and do it the way that he says. Don't alternate your own way because you don't understand or you think that it's too harsh. Do what he's leading you to do. Don't ask any questions. When God told Moses to build it that way, that's the way that he did it. When God says to a leper, or to modernize, let's see, to a cancer patient, dip yourself 7 times in the banana river. Don't dip yourself 5 times and then get out and say, well, I feel better now. If he's told you to do it 7 times, you do it 7 times and you don't question him. Do what he says, how he says to do it, and don't question him. It might 7 times, it might not make sense to you, but there's a reason that we don't understand that he's told you to do something. And when that happens, you just do it. Do what he says. Leave the results up to him. Do what he says. Do what God says, regardless of if you understand it or not. When God instructed the Apostle Paul to do something, Paul wrote to us, he said, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Meaning, he didn't ask anyone else now what their opinion was about it. God told him to do something. He said, I didn't get anyone's opinion on this. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. He didn't ask his best friend, well, I feel that God's calling me to do this. What thinkest thou? What do you think? God hasn't given your friend the revelation he gave you. He's given that to you. If you're married, he'll confirm it to your spouse. He's not the God of confusion. Do what he says. So, with that in mind, on this first day of June, what is God leading you to do today? What is God leading you to do today? Give something up. Give somebody up, perhaps. Give up a job, perhaps. Maybe the other side. Maybe hold on to your job. See, I made the mistake. I made the mistake of giving up my job because there was sin in the workplace. So I said, certainly God wouldn't want me here. There's sin here. I need to quit. He certainly wouldn't want me to stay here. And that was one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made. Because I cut bait and run because there was sin there and God didn't want me to leave. He wanted me to stay. What's he calling you today? What is God leading you to do today? Let me encourage you. Do it. Just do it. He has a plan. You're not necessarily called to understand that plan, but his message to you today, he went to great pains to take me off my favorite chapter in the book of Hebrews to lead us down this bunny trail here today. He told Moses, these are the blueprints, now just do it. What's he telling you to do today? Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.